four. Curry jumper.
It high. He hits it deep. It is out of here.
You're now locked in to the Temple of Swan.
Bang, bang. Mike Temple next to my main man, the Swanee, Alex Swan.
Carrillo at the buzzer. Good. Carrillo hits it. And he wins it for the Penguins!
You're listening to the Temple of Swan on radio.dominican.edu.
We're back here at the Temple of Swan, an hour late. That's because there's an ILS event going on, but we're here now. We'll get to you about an hour of coverage here at radio.dominican.edu. Those of you that have been watching the Giants game, they're trailing 7-2.
That's why they're tuned into our show now.
They're done with that. But we were supposed to have Booker T. Harris on tonight, and that's the coach of the Dominican men's basketball team. But with this event, we had to reschedule. So that will be next Wednesday. We'll have him on at 7 p.m. And then after that will be Gary Nelson, I believe, of
yes,
the golf team.
Head golf coach of both the men's and women's team.
So that's what we'll have for you today. We'll talk a little bit about Giants, but mostly during the hour, we'll get to you the Raiders' previous game against the Cardinals and then the 49ers slacking against the Denver Broncos. We'll break that down.
Hey, both teams lost.
High five.
High five. We're in the same boat for once.
Unfortunate. But I was kind of looking forward to having Booker T on tonight, and then all of a sudden we get the ILS.
Yeah,
and
I talked to him about 30 minutes before I got that text. And Coach Book, you know, awesome guy if you follow him on Twitter. Always spitting wisdom down on the Twitter page. So, I mean, I was really excited about it, so I went up to talk to him. He's like, yeah, just unfortunate that it had to happen during the Giants game, but I'm really excited to talk about the team, the season last year and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, me too. Then I get the text saying, "About were we aware of the ILS?" And of course we weren't, because I don't know why we weren't. What's the reasoning behind us not being?
Well, there's just a schedule posted on the website.
And
there's
I check that website a lot, and it's just, I guess, a mental mistake.
And also, I would believe when we set the schedule up originally with B-Dave,
yeah,
this was posted Booker T's day, so we're thinking, all right, we got Coach Books here.
Showtime.
We're getting ready for that. We weren't expecting the ILS, so he'll be next week.
And then, yeah, the golf team, probably one of the better teams at Dominican. Our men's golf team has a couple standout golfers last year. Got the conference champion and freshman of the year, so that'll be a good interview as well. That's coming up in 2 weeks.
He's probably pretty stoked.
Yeah. I would think so.
Got the golf team on the uprise.
That good youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the next 2 weeks of Inside the Icebox, and then we'll come back second semester most likely with the spring sports like softball, tennis, and then just probably looking back into basketball still, because those sports will probably still be going on. So just that's probably the second half of the semester, and also just looking forward, we're trying to get some video set up, which is why we're 10 minutes late. We're going to be streaming on Ustream. If you're familiar with that, it's a video streaming website. But right now we're having technical difficulties, of course, because it's the first time and it's a trial run. We tried getting it, but we don't have a plug to go from the camera to the computer. So right now it's picking up audio, but there's no point in just having audio because that's what radio.dominican.edu does.
We need the visual.
We need the visual. So we're on the lookout for that, and hopefully we find that in the comm studio. I think it's going to be a FireWire or HDMI, which neither of those were at our disposal here, but we'll get that set up hopefully by next week.
That's what I'm hoping for too.
And then they gave us a tripod too, but the tripod is a little defective, so we're using our brains and going with the table in the corner, some things to prop up the camera. So right now the camera's on looking at us, but it's just no one could see it, not even the camera, because there's no tape in there. So
and you need all three legs. Once one leg kind of gives out,
yeah, it's like
the tripod is done.
It's no
like
longer
a tricycle. You tip over.
It's no longer a tripod. It's a dual pod. I don't know how I'd say that, but this tripod has like one leg, so it's like a monopod. That's just the way I think of it. Anyways, we're back into the sports field since that was my little side rant today. We're gonna talk about the Giants. They took game one last night pretty convincingly. Kind of boring, I heard. I didn't even watch the game. but I heard it was very boring for those, even for the Giants fans, even though it's probably nice to see a shellacking
like
that. I'll
take that game any day.
Yeah, but they said it was boring as a baseball fan to watch that just beat down.
That. Yeah, you want an entertaining back and forth.
And the Kansas City came in after winning, not losing a playoff game this year yet. So you're thinking it's going to be a good battle. Two hot teams who are playing pretty much the same kind of baseball in October, squaring off for game one of the World Series, hyped up crowd in KC. They haven't got a World Series game in, what was it, 25 years. So, you know, they're going to be juiced.
And but the streak had to snap eventually.
It had to. Just like I'm thinking the Giants every other streak has to snap, but does it? But does
we'll
it?
See. To be we'll see. Continued. But what was interesting was they sent out Big James Shields.
He is not Big Game
no,
James.
He has an ERA over 7 in the playoffs. Yeah. So we're thinking that's a game one
and
starter
I think
against
exactly,
Bumgarner.
Exactly.
Didn't work out.
How can you be called Big Game James when you can't pitch good in big games?
Did he earn that?
He got shelled against the A's. He got shelled against the Orioles. I mean, yeah, did he earn that or was he just someone just like it rhymes, so let's give it to him?
I heard he earned that nickname in spring training of 2008. And
what big, what
and
big games do they have in spring training? Are we pitching for the spring training trophy? Like, do they even? I think they have that, but is that something like the D-League trophy when you win? Yeah. I don't even understand. How is he Big Game J? But even, okay, so even with the Rays, he wasn't even good in the postseason either. I think he has a career postseason ERA of 5.97.
Yeah. He had one good year in 2008, and that was when he carried it over from the spring training. So everyone's like, oh, it's sticking now. Slap on Big Game James Shields.
If you have a good, if you have a good spring training in the clutch, you're going to come through in the playoffs. That's what that means. Anyways, he did not deliver. And you know someone who does deliver, Madison Bumgarner. Guy seems unhittable in the postseason. Even during the regular season, I don't see how this guy hasn't won a Cy Young yet, hasn't pitched in an All-Star game. He's been chosen as an All-Star, but hasn't thrown an inning in an All-Star game just yet. Madison Bumgarner can shove.
Oh, yeah. And he's up there in statistical categories of ranked third, I believe, behind two other pitchers in starting a World Series game and going 7 innings plus. And there's a list of 5. And he's number 3. I can't give you the names off the top of my head right now because I wasn't alive, but probably could get some research done on that.
Because I wasn't alive. So that discredits anything after 23 years. I mean, before 23 years. I don't know. It just never happened.
But that was funny. I'm thinking that's prominence right there.
Yeah, Bumgarner.
You can deal in the clutch.
I was kind of upset that he gave up a home run, you know? I just expect this guy to go out, give up zeros, close the door, go CG, gave up a home run. It's like, wow, Bumgarner, really? Do you have to be human? Do you have to be human in the World Series? And the Giants right now trailing 7-2, you said?
Yeah, that's what it looks like, 7-2.
7-2, so it looks like it might go back 1-1 to San Francisco. But then you got 3 straight home games to really make your mark here. This is where the series is going to be won. It's going to be won in San Francisco. You've got to be able to take, I say, at least 2 out of 3. You got to win the 3 games. Of course, you're looking for a sweep so you can win at home, but that doesn't happen. Got to win 2 out of 3.
Absolutely. And tonight you saw how dominant the Royals' bullpen is when it gets into a bullpen game.
Did you see Kelvin Herrera come in and throw 100, 101, 100, 200, 100, 100, 101?
Doesn't even touch below 100. That's Aroldis Chapman times 5.
And he's got a nasty two-seam movement, too. It's not a straight fastball. That thing is darting inside on the right.
Show your bat.
Yeah, and he broke 2 bats. So, Kelvin Herrera, very good bullpen. Then you go to Wade Davis. Just guys in that bullpen are just shut down. So, you know the Giants have to get a lead before they get to that 6, or at least stay tied. That way, you can maybe stretch into extra innings and hope you get a run off one of their other guys.
And it's going to be tough because I think Bochy tonight, he brought in Machi and Strickland. He didn't go to the heart of his pen, even though it was knotted up. And I think he was thinking about, okay, later in the series, I'm thinking I got to save some of my horses here because our bullpen compared to the Royals' bullpen, it's not the same. So if this continues to be a bullpen game, I need to have my horses later in the series, especially going home. Because deep into the ball game, going against the Royals, when they're down 1-0, they got that desperation mode of we need to win. I think that was a strategy once it was 3-2 and the tables just started turning and
yeah, and you saw that. Yeah, exactly. You saw that early on too with the Royals offense against Jake Peavy. He was getting batted around in those first 2 innings, and the 3rd inning kind of calmed down, 4th inning kind of calmed down. Then he had some problems later, and of course he came out in the 6th, I believe it was. Correct? 6, yeah. So came out in the 6th, and then the Royals really tattooed the relievers and put up some runs. But Jake Peavy struggled early on, I think, because the Royals felt that desperation. They knew that they couldn't go down 2-0 coming back to San Francisco, where they seem like they can't lose in the postseason. Giants just playing great ball at home. So you saw what the Royals offense can do today. They hit for a little pop. Giants answered for a little pop by themselves. I saw the back-to-back doubles. Not back-to-back, but Sandoval led off with a double, then Belt knocked him in with a double of his own. So Giants can hit. Royals now showing that what they can do on the offensive side. It's going to be good coming back home with the series tied at 1-1. Good for the fans like me who get to sit back and just watch this one. Probably stressful for you, as you know, your team's in the World Series, so how can that not be stressful? I don't know how that feels, but it probably is stressful. You've gotten into the last three, 6 years it is, so.
The stress level is high, but over the past years, you kind of get this sense that there's some veteran presence. And I'm thinking, and we get an update here, Tim Lincecum left game two. What did that say? Sixth inning after landing awkwardly following a pitch. That's a Sports Center update we just got.
Yeah, eighth inning. Sorry, eighth inning. Phone screen's cracked. So
Timmy got an appearance when the Giants were losing, and he got hurt. So
that's what happens. That you don't pitch for 2 weeks.
People were wondering, when will Machi pitch? When will Timmy pitch? If they pitch, well, they both pitched tonight, and I guess it didn't work out for both of them. But I think what happened of why the Royals were shelling Peavy is he's a guy that lives around the knees and below the strike zone, and he was leaving pitches up all night, and eventually it caught up to him and put the bullpen in a tough position. But you got the veteran now coming home from game three. You took home field advantage away, but the Royals are just as capable of going on the road and stealing right back.
Yeah, did the Giants announce a game four starter?
No. Oh, Vogie.
So Vogie is starting game four?
Vogie's going to go, yeah.
Okay. So you got Hudson, then Vogie. Hopefully you could take the game with Hudson for sure, go up 2-1 and see what Vogie can do, if he can go back to that game he had in the NLDS.
That's what they'll need.
That kind of performance, yeah.
You see the fishing rod come out. He's getting yanked. Here comes Petit.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely have a quick hook on him, of course, because Bochy even had a quicker hook today. You get a guy on first and second, no outs in the sixth. You got to yank him because it's postseason baseball. It just didn't happen to work out as the Royals were able to open it up. But I think Vogie will have even a quicker hook. If you give up maybe two straight hits, even in the second or third inning, it could be time to go to Petit.
Oh, yeah.
Because they saved him today. They didn't go to him out of the bullpen. They went to Machi, like you said, and Strickland, so Petit's still available. He's probably going to be in short relief, long relief,
yeah,
after Vogie comes in. So we'll see what happens there. But got to win game three, I think, with Hudson on the hill. First World Series start for him. See what kind of – it's going to be a home one too, so it should be even more nerve-wracking. But like you said, a veteran, I think he could hold it down for the Giants.
And it's his first World Series, so he's going to have the butterflies, and you know he wants to win it. He's going to get one shot at it. He probably only has maybe a year left if he comes back. He might retire depending how this World Series ends for him. But you know what I'm worried about is there was so much hype into Hunter Strickland coming in, and he's giving up the gopher ball.
Yeah, that's what happens when you throw.
Five homers in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what happens when you throw fastballs just right down the plate. He has electric stuff. He doesn't throw a slider, I think, quite enough because he has a nasty one. But he lives with the fastball, and when he elevates it, players are taking advantage and sending him outside the park. And we saw it in the NLDS, NLCS now, even in the World Series with the Royals having that big inning. You can't just throw fastballs if your location is not where it needs to be. You need to be pounding the knees, outside corner. But if you leave it up at the belt, even if it's like 98, 97, guys can hit that out.
Oh, yeah. And you can leave it at the belt only if you have a dirty secondary pitch.
Yeah, and when you're just...
And if you don't... Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. When you're just relying on fastballs, you've got to be location, location, location. You can't be leaving balls up for guys to just go hammer time on.
That's
not going to work out.
And he was supposed to be a future closer potentially for the Giants. A lot of talk. Not so much.
Can't be a closer when you give up home runs.
Absolutely not.
You see all the good closers. They don't give up home run balls. They make you earn it by getting doubles, singles, making you move runners over. So Hunter Strickland does need to improve on that. He's the second reliever in postseason history to allow five home runs. The last one was in 2011, Chris Narveson. So he's in some good company there. he's in the stat book.
And you know what? You thought Peavy got ticked off just throughout a game when he starts cussing at himself, or just you see him going wild, man. Hunter Strickland gets ticked off at himself when he gives up the long ball.
He's had a lot of opportunity to get ticked off.
And you see him just screaming into that glove, and you're just like, I wonder what he's saying right now.
That would be good to have like a little camera attached to them. You know how we're trying to get a camera in here? We should get a camera on some pitchers. Like Jake Peavy, that'd be an interesting follow.
Me
watching
too.
Like if you had like a GoPro just on the back of the hill, you know? That'd get some new viewers. They'd probably say 99% censored material that wouldn't be able to show on air, but it'd be nice for us fans here.
It'd be a lot of beeps.
A lot of beeps. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, Giants. Beep, beep, beep. Just like something. Some like, what's that thing when they, in ships, Morse code? Yeah, Morse code. There we go. I couldn't think of it. When you're touching like.
Nice. I'm surprised. Wait, is that what it is? Right there. It is.
What's the thing then when you're searching for like.
When you're blind?
Yeah. What's that thing called? Or is that Braille? Morse code? Oh, Braille. That's what it's, bingo. All right, we're good.
There we go.
I had to figure that out. The stuff's on your mind, you know?
You got to know.
You got to know the bigger things in life.
All right, we got 35 minutes left. Let's just, we're gonna forget the break. And
when's the last time we did an hour show?
We never did an hour show.
Did
we do it once last year? We might have.
This is new. I feel like I just got comfortable. And we're already
almost way too soon.
To the latter half.
Yeah.
Well, it's the way the cookie crumbles. That's what they tell us.
Especially when you got an ILS event. You can't do anything about it.
Who was today? Who was the speaker today?
I mean, I probably should know, but it beats me.
It beats me. Well, we're going to talk about some Raider football then. That's just how you got to do it. Raiders, once again, continued those losing ways, 12 in a row.
Oh, man.
So just mark it down for another loss here this week. But, hey, there's a chance. They're playing the Cleveland Browns, who just lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I got a good feeling about this week, but
that's what I've been saying every week. You know,
I know.
You think how long can you go without getting wins?
Well, you got to be careful because the schedule is going to start stacking up.
Oh yeah, after this game, there's maybe one more game against the Bills, and that's at home. But that's maybe the only game you could win from here on out.
Oh, dude.
So there's two more chances before you become like the Lions in an infamy of 0-16-ness. Just. God, that would mean, let's see, they're 0-6 right now. If they went 0-16.
You're adding up the losses from last year, too?
Yeah.
Consecutively?
So that'd be 12 plus 12. That'd be 24 straight losses, right? I'm not good at math. I need my graphing calculator. Yeah, 24 straight losses if they lost the whole way through.
Your graphing calculator? Dude, anyway, that's bad. That's so very bad. We need to look up when the last team has done that.
24 straight losses? It's unheard of.
I don't.
Well, we're halfway there. We're halfway there right now. We're at 12. My.
That could end this weekend, though.
Against Johnny Manziel and his team, even though Manziel's on the bench, still probably the most popular player in Cleveland. They got LeBron James, number one fan. Dude, Cleveland had a good year. Got Johnny Manziel and LeBron James. It's too bad their teams still are.
It's too bad that Cleveland's going to get all the hype and then not go to the championship, or they will and lose.
Yeah.
And the Browns are about to start tanking.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
And how do you lose to the Jaguars, who everyone thought was the worst team, and that was the one saving grace for the Raiders? They're still the Jaguars, guys, so we're not the worst team. But then the Jaguars go out and trample the Browns, so now the Raiders are the de facto worst team in the league. And did you see just another side comment from the Cardinal game? Darnell Dockett was getting trash-talked and harassed by the Raider fans, which is nothing new for a visiting player anywhere, so I don't know why that's such a big deal. But anyways, Darnell Dockett, the injured defensive star for the Cardinals, was getting harassed by the Raider fans, just verbally, nothing thrown at him or anything. And then after the game, Darnell Dockett had their whiteboard to call plays for a court. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, and he wrote, worst team, and then an 0-6, and then showed it to the fans. You didn't see that?
No, but dang.
I mean,
they show that during the game?
No. I saw it on Twitter after.
Oh, okay.
Like all the Sports Center was tweeting it
Gotta
and all
check
that stuff.
The tweets more.
But yeah, that's pretty funny when an opposing player is writing that stuff. I mean, you can't really say anything about it. I mean, we are the worst team. We're 0-6. No other team is fighting with zero wins.
Record wise, yeah, you can make that case. But dude, there's been times where you've seen bright spots, and even through a series. I thought that there were times where the Raiders got after Carson Palmer on first and second down.
They're the worst, exactly.
And then third down comes, and it's just a whole new play that they just can't get off the field.
They're the worst third down team on offense, and they're the worst third down team on defense.
That's perfectly said.
That is why you are 0-6. When you can't get off the field and you can't stay on the field, how do you win football games?
You can't. Because those are the crucial downs.
I think they're giving up third downs on 56%.
It's over 50. Wow.
I think that's what it is.
That's an alarming rate.
I would have to check that. And I know they've gotten the most third, three and outs, and I know that they're like probably second to last or last in third down conversions on offense. I like to say it's last, but that's what, when you're not good on offense on third downs, and then your defense is equally probably worse on third downs, you don't have time of possession. You're never driving down the field. It seems like all the Raiders' touchdowns have been through big plays.
Yeah.
They're not dink and dunking it down. That's why they don't get too many field goals either anymore, because they're not driving. It's either punt or touchdown, and it's more punt than touchdown. Way more punt than touchdown. It's like the same we used to say for Adam Dunn and like Jack Cuss, either home run or strike out. But at least they hit a couple home runs. The Raiders don't score too many touchdowns, so you're just punting. Marquette King's been a nice busy player, even though he's not having a great year either. Miles Burris, worst linebacker in the NFL. He missed a good three tackles right in front of my face when I was watching the game this last Sunday. It's like, if we had anyone who could tackle, I mean, we might get off the field on third down, but Miles Burris can't tackle. And to think I thought he was good last year before he got hurt. Man, that's just bad scouting by me. I'm not allowed to draft.
Questionable scouting report.
And then you get into the secondary where we had Tyvon Branch with a season-ending injury. I mean, he might come back, but most likely not. I mean, our team hasn't won a game, so why would you come back in week 14 or 15 and risk injury? That just doesn't make sense to me. So he's out for the season. Then Usama Young, who's been playing decent as the backup, he tore his ACL, so bingo, you're gone. And when the Raiders are getting down to their third string on defense, that's not a good look. And we're sending in Brandon Ross, who was on our practice squad, played last year, and he sucked. He was probably the worst. He was worse than Miles Burris. And now you're going to Brandon Ross as your starting safety. So, I don't know. I mean, safety's a pretty important position on defense. And when you're starting Brandon Ross, oh, man. So, expect things to get worse when the Broncos are coming in next week. No, 2 weeks from now. They get the Seahawks. So, they go Browns, Seahawks on the road. Then you come home for the Broncos. Good luck. You better win this week. That's what I'm saying.
You better.
Sorry, I got
it. I want to know, how do you correct getting off the field on third down? I want to know,
as a
defensive coordinator, what's going on in your mind. What changes?
And the thing is, the third downs are like third and eight, third and nine.
These are deep, yeah.
Because, like you said, they're
having... sometimes third and 12 plus.
They're having good plays on first and second down, like negative yardage plays, and they're stopping them. And then for a long third down, you think that's money in the bank, you know, just do some prevent defense, let them catch it and run for a little bit, but tackle them before they get 12 yards. But somehow, Raiders will find a way to give up 13, and they move the chains. How do you stop that? I'm not really sure. Coach Sperano said that they were working on it in practice, and that was a huge focus point going into this game against the Cardinals, but it didn't work out because they converted 85% of their third downs, and we converted, I think, 20. So, does practice not work? Practice? You talking about practice? I don't think the Raiders need to practice. You know, we that could be the problem. Why are we practicing? If what we practice, we can't perform in games. God, I should be a philosopher for the way that sounded. It's embarrassing, man. We can't win a football game. How hard is it to win one stinking game? I go to the game every Sunday with some fake optimism, thinking that this will be the week we win. We're going against the best team in the NFC right now, record-wise. We could somehow beat them. We got a new coach. Darren McFadden looks better. And then I'm like, okay, we'll hang in. And we do hang in. And what do? We lose. It was a boring game, and we lost. God, we're horrible. I don't even want to talk about the Raiders too much anymore, because what is there to talk about? Khalil Mack, he looks good. Derek Carr didn't play that good last week. First time I saw some regression in him. But okay, he's decent. After that, what do we have?
I'm sorry to say, but not much.
And you know who else looked like P-O-O, poo? Was Kembrell Tompkins, the guy we signed from... okay, the Giants just lost 7-2, got that. But so it's 1-1, evened up, going back to San Francisco. But Kembrell Tompkins, he played 33 snaps and did nothing. He had one target, one drop. And then you go to Bryce Butler, who plays, I think, 7 snaps, and he has a 60-yard catch. Why is Bryce Butler not playing more? Bryce Butler had a good game against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Comes back and has a huge explosive play that set up our lone touchdown. So why is Bryce Butler not playing? Beats me. I don't care if you want to get Kembrell Tompkins integrated into the offense. If he's not producing, why are we playing him?
It's a great question.
And then you go to Andre Holmes, who's so hit or miss, And then he had a huge drop on third down on a wide open play. It's like, Holmes, you got to catch the ball. You're a wide receiver. Catch the ball.
He had a huge drop, and then they went back to him late on third down on the wide receiver screen.
He's so hit. Yeah, that. Let's talk about that play. Third and seven with the and late in the fourth quarter. And what do you dial up, Greg Olsen? You dial up a freaking screen to the wide receiver on third and seven against a speedy defense? No, thank you. Oh, my God. That's why we're 0-6. That's why we haven't won in 12 straight appearances. I don't even know how to say that. We've lost in London. We've lost around the whole United States. I think we need to just go to frickin', let's go to Zimbabwe or something. Somewhere where they never heard of the Raiders. We can go there, play a neutral site game. Maybe that will change things. I don't know. Lamar Woodley tore his bicep or something. I don't even know he was still on the Raiders. So that's a big yay. We have no linebacking core, no secondary. But getting to the Browns. Brian Hoyer. Hit or miss, he's decent. We'll see what happens.
He seems to play better when the Browns are losing.
Yeah.
He works the comeback really well.
So maybe the Browns should just stay ahead by two or three.
And then lose in the end.
Yeah. So do I have optimism in this game? Should I have optimism in this game?
You should, because this is about the only game you'll have for the next 3 weeks to have optimism.
Jeez, that's rude. That's no, that's true, because the gauntlet's coming up.
But knowing how football goes... I don't know.
Knowing how football goes, the Raiders will be 0-15 and win in week 16 against, I think they play the Chiefs that week. Or is it the Broncos? I don't know. Someone in the AFC West, but still. I know what you mean, though.
Football's wild, and all of a sudden Seattle is tied 10-10 in the fourth, and weird things happen.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the chance, though. Going to Cleveland, they just suffered a bad loss. And it's you've played quality opponents. I thought they really could have gotten the game against the Jets. But
yeah, they should have won the game against the Jets. They should have won the game against the Chargers.
And then you're in it with New England.
And you're in it with the Cardinals.
Yeah, and so you played quality opponents, but this is the results. It's 0-6. And I can feel that fire in your voice, and you're just ready to rant and rip the headphones off and slam the microphone down, and let me just get a vocab, tear off the windscreen.
Ooh. And the cans.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
I thought that was going to be on the quiz today. Anyways, I can feel it, man. You're frustrated. You want a dang W.
Well, see, you don't know what it feels like to lose 12 straight games.
So I can't have any empathy, but I'm trying to just
I know.
Light more fire. So you know.
You're trying. And I guess that will make the next win even greater. When that win comes.
Let's bring champagne.
We'll pop champagne when the Raiders win.
And
it's like the World Series.
We have the Ustream up. They can see it.
Here's what I was thinking for the Ustream. I was trying to look when I was in here. This is an idea that was, I was just, I don't even know how to word it. An idea that I was toying with. So, you know how it's live video, so that means we have to do something visual. We can't just stand here.
Oh, you want a segment of, for the Ustream?
For the Ustream. It's going to be a Ust...
That's cool.
Ustream... I can't think of a word with a U. Ustream...
Ustream utilitarian activities. I'm just kidding.
You stream utilitarian activity. Okay, totally that's what it's called for right now. But anyways, so I have a portable basketball hoop. But,
no.
But there's no door to put on.
Trying to hang that thing?
Yeah, unless I could do this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up that back screen door right here. I'm going to hang it up right there, and we're going to have a little shootout.
Every time? Every week we have a shootout?
Oh, that'll be 1 week. And then for another week, we'd have to think of something else to do. But, I mean, we could do a shootout.
Just a weekly shootout and tally. And at the end, you know, the loser has to kiss the other's bicep or something. I'm just kidding.
I wasn't thinking of that.
Just kidding.
Where are you? I'm just kidding. But, yeah, so we're going to definitely have to do something like that. But, the viewers, I shall say, because they're no longer listening. Well, the listeners and viewers might not want to see the repetitiveness of basketball. I mean, that could be something that we do, but it can't be the headliner. You know, so 1 week it'll be the headliner, but then the next week we have to come up with something brand new.
You're right. That would get boring.
I feel like it would have to be something sports. So, also, just came up with this. Everyone loves to peewee golf. I'm going to bring a little putter, and I'm going to bring a trash can. We're going to have a little putting competition in the studio.
How are we going to create a line for that?
See, the question should not be how. The question should be when.
Okay. I'm down. Pick up the tables and let's move them. Let's throw them up against the wall. All for the Ustream. Maybe the mixture gets broken.
All we need is a cable to go into this computer, and things will be solved.
Well, we and should have a fire wire.
Our show will have so much more. What's die? our show will have so much more depth. That's not the word I was looking for, but depth. Depth is a good word.
Was it with a D?
I wanted to say our show will have so much more dynamic, but that does not make sense. So our show will be more dynamic is what I need to say.
All right.
Just think if they could
be creative.
If they could
sure.
look at us and hear us, like, this is the best of both worlds.
If we did, proposing an idea.
Okay. I'll listen.
If we can, we need to bring back some of what we did last year and implement it with Ustream. If we had that segment and our truth or trash, and occasionally we would bring back the audio clips
wow.
of coaches, you know,
wow.
or players.
Wow.
Are I don't you think mocking that, me? No,
I don't think that is a bad idea at all. I love it.
We have it all. It all comes back. The NFL picks come back.
How could I decline such a great idea like
that?
Well,
because it takes a lot of work and we just don't have the time.
But the thing is,
but it's awesome,
Ustream
though.
Will enable that time.
Okay.
It will give us 25 hours in the day instead of 24. It will give us that extra...
It's magical.
That extra caffeine that one thy needs to get itself juiced.
All right, let's do it.
I like it. We could do truth or trash, basketball toss, indoor golf, arena football, NFL picks. Just the thing, the ideas are flowing, and it's endless. The possibilities are endless, really. I could show you random video of sports things instead of saying it.
Where are we going?
What do you mean?
Where are we going with this?
It's just me talking. It's my show too, okay? The Raiders are 0-6. Let's talk about another team that lost this last week.
We can't do that anymore once the Ustream comes on.
Yeah. Gonna have to definitely sit up because right now I'm lounged. I'm going to have to have a better appearance
and
too.
I'm playing with the windscreen.
Yeah. Can't be playing with the windscreen. Can't be dilly-dallying around. If you want to say that. Anyways, Niners got waxed this last weekend against a better football team.
Their game plan their whole time was to keep Cap in the pocket. And that defense, when you stop the run and you really do keep Kaepernick in the pocket, the Niners struggle. And I'm not making any excuses, but not having a defense that can run laterally with Denver will eat you alive.
Yeah, and Denver was – Peyton Manning was picking him apart. Just whoever he chose was – just going off. You had Emmanuel Sanders, Wes Welker, Thomas, of course, going off again. The guy's an animal. I don't see how anyone stops him. I know in fantasy football, he's a guru. He can win you a matchup by yourself. But if you're putting up 200 yards a game with two touchdowns, how do you stop that? And like you said, the Niners had no one there to stop. They're playing with a bunch of reserves as well. And you're going against the best offense in football. It was just a bad recipe. On short rest, that is.
And this is the only game plan that you can possibly contain Peyton Manning. It's if you get pressure with four guys.
And hold him to field goals somehow.
Yeah, if you blitz, you'll get burned. If you don't get pressure at all, he'll shred
you
apart.
Yeah.
And the Niners didn't do any of that. And let alone Peyton Manning could turn and hand the ball off to Ronnie Hillman and he'll get 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything. And the next thing you know, you find yourself down four touchdowns.
It was an orchestra that he definitely planned.
But let's go hats off to Peyton for passing Brett Favre
hats off.
In the record.
See, I'm not...
Most career touches.
Peyton Manning's a great quarterback, and I just don't like him because he's a Bronco. But, I mean, you got to give it to him. Peyton Manning, one of the best to ever play the game, for sure.
One of the most class acts off the field.
Yeah, and that's why it's hard to like. Like, Philip Rivers I cannot like, and I'll be okay with it, even though he's a good quarterback. Peyton Manning, it's hard to not like him.
Yeah, I'd be down to, you know, strap on the ski mask, get a dagger, get a cadaver, and... Like, slice up Philip, but not with Peyton.
That's graphic. With Peyton, I just want to go have coffee with her.
I'd definitely bring him, like, his UPS package delivery, no charge. Here's your newspaper. Like you said,
Papa John's. Cause
Papa
you know,
John's, of course.
He's in all those advertisements.
I wonder if he really likes Papa.
Maybe. That's
Do you
a good
like
question.
Papa?
Papa John's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. So.
It's a little saucy, but it's okay. I like their breadsticks and their cheese sticks.
Woohoo!
getting a little off topic again, but
I love those
Niners. They had to go on short rest. They went from St. Louis on Monday, then they went to Denver on Sunday night. I mean, that's a tough task for anyone, and they're shorthanded. I mean, we didn't expect a lot coming. I mean, last week we talked about them maybe just trying to keep it close and see where things can go from there, but didn't happen. Oh well, you lose one. Seahawks lost the same time, and now the Cardinals have an even bigger lead in the NFC West. They might try to start running away with it. So you got to start closing ground pretty soon here.
And you start looking at the wild card, because the Cardinals, their schedule isn't that difficult. They're in the middle of the pack, so they could easily take this division. The Seahawks looking like they're in deep trouble. That Percy Harvin scandal kind of
didn't
prepare them well to go on the road. And with the Niners, they don't start football games very fast at all. And so they start coming from behind. Eagles, Rams, can't come from behind against Denver and, of course, Peyton. But that team is getting bitten by the injury bug week after week. And now their center, Daniel Kilgore, is gone.
Yeah, but they did say that Aldon Smith might be back
a week early. And everybody says, you know, you get Aldon back, you get Bowman back. Brock came back last week and didn't look too good. But once you get healthy, then you could start rolling. Well, you got to be careful. You're in contention.
That's true.
If you're not in contention, this doesn't matter when they come back.
Yeah, you got to keep it close for them when they do get back. That's a very good point. And I think the thing about the Cardinals, they have a two-game lead now, I think, over the Niners.
Yeah.
But they did it with a third-string quarterback who played a game. They had their second-string quarterback play two games. And now they got Carson Palmer back. It's just a well-rounded football team they have there. They found ways to win even when their best players weren't there, like Dockett. He's hurt. Like most of their defense has been hurt. Clay Campbell, guys like that. But still, the Cardinals are finding ways to win. And it's going to be tough for them. I mean, the Niners, I think, still have two games against them. Or is it one? One game against them. So they do have one game against them. That's what they have in their pocket. But the Niners got to do it quickly, like you said. They can't just wait for those guys to come back and hope they're still close.
And then now Green Bay has put the foot on the gas pedal. They're looking to be nasty. Teams around in the NFC are much higher at a level of play than the Niners are right now. And it just almost seems like, when is it going to be time when they turn the corner? Or is this just going to be, oh, we're going to keep fighting to get back, take two steps forward, but then you take one step back? Or is it going to be a team that turns it on late like they did last year, and they finish strong, and then they're a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs? Step one is to get healthy. And step two, you got to get pressure once those guys come back. Right now, with what you have, it's not been enough.
Yeah, and that's got to be the key for them. I think their offense looked okay against the Broncos. I don't think the offense was a problem. Their defense just got shredded, and like we said, they're working with fewer bodies now than they ever have before. So we'll see how they bounce back this week. What's your input on their plan of attack this week?
Rest up on this bye week, you know, get healthy. Implement Marcus Martin in as your center, as he's going to have to get a lot of reps. Get your defense shored up. And you got to come back prepared and with a little more hunger, because going out on Sunday Night Football and getting embarrassed like that, only good thing that happens is it could light a fire. And this is not the first time this team has been embarrassed on Sunday Night Football. Seattle did it to him early last year. And so it's about how you finish. But now, as you creep towards the middle of your season, your bye week is right now. Things must change. And I think if teams use this film to keep Colin Kaepernick in the pocket, he's going to have to learn to start beating teams with his arm. Or if he's going to roll out, he's got to go.
He's a little bit indecisive.
Mm-hmm. Or if he's going to step up, you got to go. Take 3 or 4 yards and slide. And at least you're not taking sacks, or you're not causing negative yardage for your football team.
Yeah, and the thing with Kaepernick, I saw last week as well against the Broncos, he stepped up a couple times in the pocket and nailed some nice throws down the field. I think he did it 2 or 3 times when I noted. He should do that more often. He has a good arm. And if he were able just to see that protection, how it's closing in on him, if he can come up in the pocket and just decide to throw it downfield, I think Kaepernick could be a weapon, even if kept in the pocket. But we'll see if he can make those kind of adjustments here on the bye week.
And I don't know if he's totally trusted in his offensive line as he was last year. Because you just see some quarterbacks, it's all about feel. And all these Hall of Fame quarterbacks talk about the internal clock in your head. How much time do I have to throw the football? And Kaepernick seems like it's a second too early, and a second back there in the pocket is a long time to when, if you can create a little more space to release, and hit a guy downfield in stride, or to get flushed out, or all of a sudden you break down and you take a sack. It just seems like Kaepernick's internal clock isn't at the precise time just yet.
Yeah. And you got a week here to get it right. Harbaugh's going to have to go back to the drawing board, see what they can do, get ready for their game in 2 weeks now.
It is Denver.
Yeah.
So you also say you just got shredded by the best offense.
Yeah, I don't even think you watched that film pretty much. I think you just throw that away. It's a lost game. Probably the most potent, definitely the most potent offense in the NFL this year and last year as well, too. So, you know, just something that you chalk up as a wasted game. Kind of was like you said on Sunday night. So it's happened before. It could motivate the team, and we'll see how they move on. Next thing I want to talk about, since this is an hour show and we're pretty much at the end, just really quickly, Warriors basketball. Got their first home game last night, beat the Los Angeles Clippers, looking like
that was nice.
A high potent offense. What are you seeing from the Warriors, if you've been able to catch any game or read anything on them?
I like how, you know, Kerr made it a little bit of emphasis of a little more deep, not going to shoot as many threes, and this offense might be able to really propel Klay. And he put in the work in the offseason, but it was great also to see Azeele out there. Was he out there for 11 minutes?
Yeah, and he had 12 points?
10 or 12.
It was either 10 or 12. I don't remember.
But that was encouraging to see because they, even if it's just 10 in the beginning, they need a little bit of minutes from him.
And he could play defense too. Yeah. That's what he mainly is. I mean, that scoring load, you'll take 10 even. You'll take even 5 from Festus in a game. But like you said, he looked good and nice to have him back on the court. Now you have that backup center with Kuzmic being your third. Now you got a little bit more depth down low, which I didn't think they had coming into this season. So that's something to look forward for the Warriors. And also, I like the way Kerr approached the team after. He basically said that was a poor game. We didn't deserve that win, but we got it, so we'll take it. But he's not happy with where this team is right now, even though they've only lost 2 games in the preseason and they've looked pretty crisp when their starters are on the court. Kerr's not too happy. He's going to tell you how it is. I mean, Mark Jackson was the exact opposite, pretty much just always preaching his guys. Yeah, exactly, all about having their back and saying pretty much they played a good game, they won. But Kerr said they won, but they should have lost because of how sloppy the gameplay was, and I like that from Kerr, a young coach. Exactly, yeah. You're not going to learn when you say, oh, we won, so that's all that matters.
Especially in his position where you are caring about, even if it's preseason, you like the wins, but he realizes this is long-term. Warrior fans want to see success in the playoffs, and he wants to get them there.
Yeah, and he knows that turnovers were a huge reason why the Warriors weren't successful last year. Klay and Curry turned the ball way too much. Even Iguodala and Draymond were involved in that, turned the ball over a little too much. So I know that's probably one of the points of emphasis. So if he sees his team not performing the way he thinks they can, even in a preseason game, he's going to call them out on it. And that's what he did last night, even though they won against the Clippers, who are one of the top teams in the West. He said it was an ugly game, which it was. Even, I mean, just a point to how ugly the game was. Matt Barnes inbounding the ball from the base, I mean the sideline, the baseline, hits off the backboard, ricochets over to Curry for a wide open practice three, and he knocked it down. That's the kind of game it was last night.
What are you doing on that outlet from the baseline? You try to go deep half court outlet and hit the bottom, and it just ricocheted to Curry?
Yeah. He was trying to go deep, and it just hit the bottom of the backboard and just bounced past to Curry. No one was on him. It was like he was just taking up a warm-up three, and he knocked it down.
That's sloppy.
I was like, how does that happen?
I'm glad it happened to Matt Barnes, though.
Yeah, Matt Barnes.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, no one really likes Matt Barnes. It's hard to like Matt Barnes, unless he's on your team, I guess.
And he was on the Kings.
He was on the Warriors.
And I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still don't like him. He was on your team. That's funny. Got any plans for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just going to take it easy. I've been out and about, and, you know, Alex got sick. I'm trying to...
You're not talking about yourself now, are you?
No. Dude, I do have a friend, though. His name is Derek Kelly. And I hope my dad's listening right now. But he referred to himself as Deke throughout 6th to 8th grade. He's like, oh, man, dude, Deke's about to throw this deep ball. <Deke's>
like, talked about himself in the third person.
And then we have a sleepover. And he's like, oh, man, Deke's ready for breakfast. And I just thought, you know what? All right, if this dude is how he wants to speak to himself in the third person, that's cool. So we don't even call him Derek anymore. We just call him Deke.
So he has that self-proclaimed nickname, yeah, and so it worked.
When I said Alex, I was really talking about Lady Alex. But
yes,
I'm just trying to stay healthy because it seems like this...
It's been crazy. It's been a whirlwind.
Flu is deadly. Not deadly, but...
Probably is, but Ebola is deadly.
Ebola is deadly, but the flu is very potent, and I don't want to get that. So
I
think I'm going to take it easy. No, but I need to.
I got mine last...
You did?
Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
Did you feel any different after? Because I heard it's a powerful flu shot.
No, I haven't felt different.
Did you get it here?
No, or? I got it at Kaiser.
That's where I need to go. I got a decent copay at Kaiser as well.
It's free. Injections are free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
They have like little clinics. So just, I think during the week.
If you're not completely healthy, can you still get it? Or do you...
What do you mean? Like if you're sick?
I don't know. You know if you wake up and your throat's a little dry?
No, the only thing they'll ask you is if you've been outside the United States in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they're trying to screen for the Ebola. So, but other than that, they don't really ask you anything.
All right. What are your plans?
My plans, I'm going to San Diego this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Got a race. I'm going to San Diego. This is something I want to talk about since we're on
the air. I heard about this. This is ludicrous.
Since we're on the air and I have a pathway to vent, here's the thing. I love that we're going to San Diego, and I love that it's paid for. Thank you, NCAA Sports. Thank you, Dominican. Thank you, Cross Country.
Okay. I'm glad you started with that, yeah.
There's that. Okay. Now let's get to the part that, like you said, ludicrous. What a great word. So we're leaving Friday morning. We have a race Saturday. Okay, we're not going to be jet lagged, so that's not a big deal. Leave the day before the race. Ching, ching, bada, bing, bang. Okay, we get there. Go preview the course, of course. We go eat. Then we go to bed because you have to get to sleep early because you know you need sleep if you're going to be racing at 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning. I don't even know what time the race is. So need your sleep. Okay, I understand that. Here's the thing that gets me. After the race, we are going to...
What are you thinking usually? Like when you first thought you were going on this trip, you were thinking after the race, what are we going to do? What were you thinking?
When I saw this on the schedule, it said San Diego invite. Never been there before, never been to San Diego. Oh. What I'm thinking is... We'll get there early Friday. We'll do something, whatever. If we don't, okay. But Saturday after the race, we'll have time to go to the beach.
Oh, we can
or
chill.
Go to the zoo or go walk around town.
Enjoy the city life.
That's what I'm thinking. And we'll get back maybe late Saturday night or Sunday morning. I mean, that's a lot of money. But anyways, the extra day I'd understand if they don't want to do that. But late at night at least. Okay. So here's the thing. That didn't work out. That wasn't how it was planned. On the itinerary for this weekend, it says shower to be determined. So we might not have time to shower after our race. We might have to go straight to El Airport and then fly home and get back here by 5. So that just...
What is that?
That just seems like
first
a buzzkill.
When you saw shower to be determined, you were thinking, wait, why can't we shower?
Why can't
we're chilling for a minute. Wait, flight is at...
It's 2 hours after the race.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't think
dude, you're going to be sweaty. You're going to be dogged. You might be on high emotions, or you might be on other emotions.
I'm going to be on high emotions. I'm going to have a great race.
There we go.
So, but still, I would like to have that high emotions down in San Diego, walking to the beach, or going to see a koala at the zoo. But no.
Hey, team, gather your back. Nope. Can't get the showers. We're going.
Can't get the shower. There's no time. We gotta get to the airport.
You got everything?
We gotta be home by 5.
You don't need those flip flops.
Why do we have to be home by 5? I'm pretty sure. Wouldn't you think
they're
that?
Trying to catch the
I don't know the whole gist of this. I don't know what the whole gist of this is, but wouldn't flights cost cheaper late at night when no one wants to fly?
You would think.
You come back
at 9 maybe?
You don't even have to. Okay, here's the thing. You don't even have to stay the night, that extra night. So you wanna come back Saturday? Okay, I understand. It's an hour flight. So what we could do is, she said we're 20 minutes away from the airport. Why don't we just go to the nearest beach? I'm pretty sure there's a beach by UC San Diego. That's got to be a recruiting point. It's got to be. Or go walk around town, go do some kind of shopping. I don't care, just something. And then, you catch a flight at 8, get back at 9?
It's only an hour flight.
It's at 9 o'clock. That's perfect. You can still do something
Saturday night. I don't understand what people are... What's the fuss is?
What is the fuss? But anyways, that's not happening.
Let the athletes enjoy some time in San Diego.
We'll be back here by 5. So I'll have time to do something Saturday night, I guess, here, instead of in San Diego. That's the way to look at it.
Dang.
Yeah. So, sir, thank you for the platform to express myself. But yes, I'm thankful that I'm getting paid to go to San Diego. Well, I'm not getting paid. Like, I don't want this to be an NCAA violation.
Paid for.
that'd be funny if the cross-country team was the one getting paid.
I want to, before this ends, I'm a North Carolina college basketball fan. Did you hear what happened?
That they're down here recruiting Ivan Rabb from Bishop O'Dowd.
What? No.
Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
He's like the best prospect.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, but I heard that 1,500 athletes academic fraud
at North Carolina.
The advisors would set up these athletes called an I don't know. I don't want to say it because it could be racially incorrect, but something to do with studies of a different race. You can take that class, and it's on like a different nationality. And so once you take that class, you just have to write one research paper. And it didn't, and it was a requirement of 5 pages for the whole year. And it didn't matter how much you wrote or what you wrote, but you were getting an A or a B. And people were, and advisors stashing these athletes in these classes. And the next thing, football too, all the athletes. And then it comes out under an investigation because UNC football got hammered for this two years ago.
Yeah.
And now to find this out, oh my.
15,000?
1,500, excuse
1500.
Me. Yeah.
Well, you probably said that, but I just wanted to exaggerate.
But dude, are you kidding me? It just shows that's crazy. That sports and I bet you that are happens. So big in D1 colleges.
And I bet you that happens at a lot of colleges, exactly. Not just North Carolina.
And this illegal recruiting of my buddy's has a girlfriend that goes to SMU, and SMU has not a very good football team, but one of their stars, they had June Jones as their coach come over for Hawaii, and right when he got there, next thing you know, their number one quarterback was graduating, and they brought in this 4-star, and like getting a 4-star at SMU is pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's driving this Rolls—I don't even know what it was.
A little fishy. A nice car. Let's just say a nice car.
You think, are you kidding me?
How does that happen?
And then of course you get this going down in all these other D1 schools, and it's like, man.
And I feel like there's a new there's a new report every other week.
Yeah. Is the NCAA just lost control of recruiting or what? Because this is bad.
Yeah, sports has become the ultimate money maker for schools. You know, they're making triple, quadruple the amount they're spending on these sports teams and on these athletes. So to get the best athletes to maximize their profit, they're going to do whatever it takes, and that whether that be giving them the nice car, having a donor give it to them. They're bringing in these top athletes illegally, and then, like you said, even when they're in the school, they're making sure that they pass and succeed by setting them up pretty much with an easy A or B.
It's just a little sketchy. And then the athletes that are really highly touted on the team sometimes say, hey, get a little greedy, not as smart, and they break the violation, as we just saw a couple college football athletes do, sign some autographs, sell some memorabilia, and then they're suspended. It's just like, man, this cycle of violations between collegiate athletes. I don't know, man, because there's teams pushing or there's ADs pushing for collegiate athletes to be paid, but then that seems like it could jack up collegiate recruiting even more, which I think it would.
That would be horrible.
You have this under the table stuff, so it's one or the other. I don't know if it can stop, because I don't know if all this investigation can go around to each school. It's just too much bribery going on. And I think just the good programs will continue to thrive.
True. I couldn't agree
more.
That
was my rant.
That was amazing. You should rant more often. But your teams aren't bad enough to rant like mine.
Yeah, I should be grateful.
I should be grateful. Well, that has to do it for this show. You feel confident? That was an hour show. Quick. I feel like we delivered a lot of information.
At first, I was like, oh, hour, not too bad. This is kind of cool to mix it up. I don't like it.
It's a little short. Yeah. It's a little short. You know, we were just getting warmed up, just getting loose, but... We'll be back next week with our 2-hour show. Booker T. Harris, men's basketball coach, will be on. So tune in for that, 7 o'clock, inside the ice box. And then we got Gary Nelson the week after, men's golf coach. So those are two interviews set up, and we'll be back normal slot. Follow us on Twitter at the Temple of Swan, Facebook, Temple of Swan as well. Hopefully we'll get on Ustream next week. We'll let you guys know on those social media platforms if we're ready to rumble on that. Anything else to add to that?
Have a good night, everybody.
All right, you're listening to Temple of Swan Radio. Dominican.edu. You'll be back next Wednesday with some more Temple of Swan. Thank you for listening. Amica mia, la via con te mi mancherà.